take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. Coming up on the program this morning, still to come, April Roy Fogle, Alabama today. State Senate Majority Leader Clay Schofield and our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, will be with us. That's to come. Please stay tuned for that. But joining us now, very excited. Always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. He represents the 5th Congressional District up in North Alabama, but a regular on this show, Congressman Mo Brooks, with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Doing really well. Congratulations to Auburn for being number one in basketball this week. Close game, beat Missouri. Very entertaining. As an Alabama fan, I was watching it. That tells you something.
Well, I thought you, you're Duke basketball, Alabama football, or, being an alum of both, right?
That's it. I'm a Duke grad, so I watch a few Duke basketball games. But this Auburn team, I mean, it's the first time in history they've been number one in the country in basketball, and so it's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool. I mean, you don't want to peak this early, so hopefully there's more in the tank there when we get to tournament time in March. But it's like you said, it's all that matters, right?
March Madness, whoever wins it, they're the champions, and that's the end of the subject.
Yeah, well, and hopefully we do well in the tournament. We'll see how the endurance of the team when you start playing those games back-to-back like that. Congressman, let's kick it off here. How's the campaign going?
It's going very well. You've probably seen a third-party poll that came out earlier this week that had us in first by 8 points, 33 to 25 for Mike Durant, for 23% for Katie Britt. Of course, I always emphasize whether the poll is good, bad, or indifferent. A lot depends on the methodology. It's a snapshot at the moment in time. The poll's probably already out of date.
Yeah, it's remarkable how fast this race has moved. There, it really is. You get a sense it's a horse race, and sometimes the candidates, they move out, they have a big burst of speed, and then they kind of level off a little bit. But I feel like we got another cycle of that to go before we get to May 24th. At least one more cycle, if not more.
Oh, absolutely. When my honeymoon period was on, before I came under attack by either Mike Durant or Katie Britt, you know, I had a pretty big lead. Then you had Katie Britt with her honeymoon period, and she scored some points, moved up in the polls. Then some less than good things have come out about her and her support for tax increases by way of example, and that's dampened her momentum a little bit. Now you got Mike Durant. He's in the honeymoon period. It appears that the Katie Britt team has tried to take a notch or two out of his belt, Mike Durant's belt, with the stuff about the family issue, internal family issue, the rape and incest on the one hand, and then you've got the Katie Britt article on the More Perfect Union. That is a very left-wing liberal group, only supports Democrats or very liberal Republicans like Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, Never Trumper types, and they're putting $15 million behind the effort to elect Mike Durant. You may have seen the Alabama Patriot PAC. That is that group. And so they've done their homework, and they believe that Mike Durant is the most liberal candidate. And during this honeymoon period, of course, Mike Durant is benefiting from that. And we'll see what happens as more information comes out about some things that the public probably disagrees with about him. And over the next 3 or 4 months, you'll see that about all three of us, okay? The other side will be doing everything they can, each of us will, to contrast ourselves from our opponents. And it's the nature of elections. Hopefully, people will keep it honest. And once it's kept honest, if it is, then hopefully the public can make the best decision for what they believe is in the best interest of Alabama and the United States of America.
Well, what do you make of not so much the substance of the Durant hit or whatever you want to call it, but just that it is coming up at this point in time, that this seems relatively early to me for those kinds of stories to come out during an election cycle.
Well, it suggests that the polling data that has Katie Britt kind of fading away in third place, you know, in third place, you might as well be last place if you don't make a runoff. It suggests that their polling data is similar to that. Otherwise, they would not have focused their ammo on Mike Durant. But we're not that far from the election. It's only a little bit less than 4 months away, and it's a big election. It will help determine the future of the United States of America. And so you're going to see this, I'm sure, pretty consistently over the next 3 or 4 months. And you've got some super PACs that have many, many, many millions of dollars. I've got one, Club for Growth, that is wanting to help my campaign, and nowhere near as much as the kind of money that you're going to see thrown in on behalf of Katie Britt or Mike Durant. I'm kind of the poor man's candidate. But nonetheless, with that kind of money, you start early enough, as long as you don't run out by the end, then you're fine.
Yeah, well, you got to have something in the tank there as we go along. Congressman, this federal court decision, now...
horrible decision.
Well, what do you make of it? Two Trump appointees, Terry Moore and Manasco, on that three-judge panel. The other judge from the 11th Circuit, it was a Reagan appointee initially, and then now is a Clinton appointee to that appeals court. But having those two judges that were Trump appointees that we thought were vetted, what do you make of that?
They were vetted by Katie Britt. Katie Britt has bragged about how she's the one who vetted these judges that are on this panel, two of them at least, and she vouched for them being great conservatives. Well, apparently that is not at all the case, because no conservative would have voted for a court order that segregates Alabama into black areas and white areas. I mean, that doesn't help with racial relations when you've got judges who are segregating us based on race and saying, well, this is the area that only a black's going to be able to win, and this is an area that only whites are going to be able to win. That's not the way a republic is supposed to work. By way of example, these judges seem to think that African Americans cannot win in predominantly white areas of the state. That is categorically false. Shelby County, overwhelmingly Republican, overwhelmingly Caucasian, just got through electing an African American. Not because he was an African American. That's not why he was elected to the legislature. He was elected to the legislature because he's a real good guy, and he's a conservative, and he shares the values of the people who elect him. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be colorblind, not emphasizing and differentiating us based on race or ethnicity, keeping in mind that skin pigmentation is an accident of birth. Okay? That's not how we should evaluate each other, based on an accident of birth. We should evaluate each other based on character, based on conduct, based on achievements, based on good things done, bad things done, not based on skin pigmentation. But that's playing right into the ballpark of what the Democrats want to do with their racial division campaign strategy.
Joined by Congressman Mo Brooks, the 5th Congressional District, candidate for United States Senate here with us. So what should the legislature do in these circumstances? I mean, there seems to be a what seems to be the approach they're going to take is just kind of walk away from it, let the Attorney General, Steve Marshall, handle whatever response and not validate it by taking some kind of action and redrawing the lines as these courts are wanting them to.
Well, I am comfortable that this court order is illegal, unconstitutional. I'm not necessarily comfortable that our judicial system has people who obey the law anymore, which is a sorry state of affairs. I'm very saddened that so many of these judges, with their super egos and self-proclaimed super intellect, that they're smarter than all the rest of us, that they're going to try to supplant what they want the law to be rather than what it is. But the United States Constitution is very clear. The Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution makes it very clear that we're not supposed to discriminate based on race, but that is the essence of this court ruling, where you're telling two-sevenths of the state of Alabama that only a black person can be elected. That's the essence of racism. And on the converse side, you're telling five-sevenths of the state of Alabama that only a white person can be elected. And that's wrong, too. We should not be doing this based on race. So I believe that there's a 15th Amendment argument. There's also a violation of Article 1, Section 4 of the Constitution that specifically says that only legislatures and Congress can make laws relating to the, quote, times, places, and manner, end quote, of elections. And I believe these judges, they're not legislators, they're not congressmen. This, under the Constitution, is not their bailiwick. And I also believe they're violating established law where we're not supposed to make race this big of an issue, but nonetheless, they've done it.
Congressman, I got a question from you, and I asked one of your opponents, Katie Britt, the same question last week. It comes from a texter. Wants to know, that there's this perception that all three of you would probably vote the same way in the United States Senate. But
No way. Okay, I'm the only conservative running in this race.
That is the perception, and it's not maybe not the reality, let's say, perhaps. But
candidates always try to create that perception because they can't win on what they're going to do. Well, that's why we have so many problems in Washington, D.C., is these candidates who parrot what the polling data says they're supposed to say in order to get elected, and then once they're in office, you kind of scratch your head and you say, who is that person? Well, that happens in all these races, and the establishment candidates, with their money, that's exactly what they try to do. They masquerade as conservatives to get elected, and then they go leftward once they're in office. And that's the distinction between myself. I'm a proven conservative. I'm the only conservative in this race, and the other two candidates.
So, I guess the question here would be how you differentiate yourself. But let me add a wrinkle to that. Just looking at leadership there, Mitch McConnell as the leader probably would be, assuming everything goes as we think it will in this November election, could be the majority leader once again in the Senate. What do you think of that? What do you think that we need to look elsewhere for leadership on the Republican side in the Senate?
There's going to be significant resistance to Mitch McConnell being the Republican leader of the United States Senate. Even Lindsey Graham has suggested that Mitch McConnell should not be the leader if he's not going to be able to work things out with Donald Trump. And I have seen nothing that suggests that he is going to be able to work things out with Donald Trump. But we'll see how it plays out in that regard. But I'm going to vote for whoever is the most conservative person running for the leadership of the Republicans in the United States Senate. And there's a possibility, slim, but possibility, that's Mitch McConnell if he's up against Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski or any of the other open border left winger types. You got to take into account who the competition is, because it's a comparison thing. But if we can get someone like Rand Paul or Mike Lee or Josh Hawley or Ron Johnson out of Wisconsin or Ted Cruz out of Texas, just go down the list. People who are much more conservative have much better reputations with the general public. Well, I'm going to vote for them. Keep in mind that if you look at the real clear politics average of all these people who are prominent in Washington, D.C., Mitch McConnell far and away has the worst unfavorable ratio. And we need someone that has more respect with the American people that we're trying to persuade of the righteousness of the Republican cause.
Congressman, second part of this question, and I assume you're keeping up with the race in your 5th congressional district for who might replace you, but what do you think the House is losing by losing your vote in the House of Representatives? Are the Republicans are losing, I should say, by losing your vote in the House of Representatives?
Well, that depends on who succeeds me. You might get a candidate that would vote exactly as I do, or you might get someone that's a little bit more liberal or more establishment. And that's going to have to be decided by the voters of the Tennessee Valley, assuming that there is such a district after these federal judges get through with it. Now, that's really an open question. I feel really bad for those six candidates running in Alabama's 5th congressional district. They have been fighting over this for over half a year. And now all of a sudden you've got federal judges that come in and they're going to dictate who knows what. And so, in effect, you're suspending the campaigns of these candidates. You're extending the qualifying deadline for them, but what happens if there's no longer a 5th congressional district that they can run in? What happens if they're paired up with Robert Atterholt or paired up with Mike Rogers, or Mike Rogers is paired up with Robert Atterholt, or Gary Palmer is paired up with Mike Rogers or Barry Moore? Who knows what these judges are going to do? And it's an abomination for them to have pushed aside the will, of the elected officials who are charged with this responsibility under Article 1, Section 4 of the Constitution. And unfortunately now, we have no idea what's going to happen in Alabama's 5th congressional district, who even is going to be on the ballot there because of the judicial activism of these liberal judges.
last question. We'll get you out of here on this foreign policy question, looking at what's going on in Ukraine right now, Russia. Now I'm told that this happens this time of year, every year, when the Russians build up their troop presence on the Ukraine border. But for whatever reason, the Biden administration seems to be really worried about this. What do you make of it? What do you think the appropriate action from the U.S. should be?
Well, let me add a caveat. I'm on the House Armed Services Committee, which means that I have access to classified information that I'm not allowed to talk about. I will say that the president has said that there is a high, high probability that there's going to be a war where Russia invades and conquers the Ukraine. Mike McCaul, who's former chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, has made the same kind of statement, that there's going to be a war, that Russia is going to invade probably sometime in early to mid-February. We will find out if their judgments are correct, but I've seen none. But in fairness, nobody knows. None of us are mind readers, and it's all up to whatever Putin wants to do. So in the meantime, we need to do everything we can to persuade Russia not to invade and conquer the Ukraine. That has an adverse effect on our NATO alliance. That has an adverse effect on Europe as a whole. And hopefully this administration will be much more proactive than they have been. Unfortunately, this administration with Joe Biden is perceived to be just about as tough as a marshmallow, particularly after the debacle in Afghanistan and their consequences to their making really bad decisions on how to withdraw from Afghanistan, and consequences to their being perceived to be pushovers by our two principal geopolitical rivals. Russia, on the one hand, with what's happening in Ukraine, and China with their much more aggressive attitude towards Taiwan.
Congressman, folks want to find out more about your Senate run. Tell them where they can look.
Please go to MoBrooks.com. Joe and Jane Citizen, if you want to help the conservative in this race, go to MoBrooks.com. The election is less than 4 months away, May 24th. See you at the polls.
Congressman, we always appreciate you. We'll talk again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.
That was Congressman Mo Brooks on the line running for U.S. Senate. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Same now. Can't say I got a whole lot of care.